Hey everyone, welcome to the Slice of Healthcare podcast. I'm your host, Jared Taylor, and I'm joined by my co-host, Layla Yari. We have a special guest here today, the CEO of MD Integrations, Dr. Mark Sirota. How's it going?
Hey, great, Jared. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Excited to have you here. Let's dive right in. Tell us about your founding story and then kind of lead that into, you know, what is MDI?
Yeah, I founded telemedicine very much by accident. I completed a pediatrics residency and then was doing an allergy immunology fellowship. I got interested in dermatology and ended up doing a second residency in dermatology. So I'm boarded in pediatrics, allergy, and dermatology. So that was a lot of training, and it was in three different states. So I had state licenses in the three different states that I was doing my training in. And I saw an advertisement for a telehealth company, and this was back in 2014, that was recruiting for doctors who had multiple state licenses. And I was in my residency. I was interested in, you know, moonlighting and doing some extra work on the side. And I reached out and I thought, you know, I'm not sure if this is legitimate or can you even do this? And I ended up working for that company. And that was my entryway into the world of telehealth. And they said, hey, Mark, you know, you can do some more shifts if you get another license. We need this state. We need that state. And I realized the more state licenses I had, the more telemedicine work I could do because the more patients I could see in the different states. So that snowballed into, well, if one company is interested in doctors that are doing this, perhaps now that I'm licensed in lots of states, there are other companies that would be interested in me helping them with their telemedicine services. So I went from three states and one company to multiple states, to multiple companies, and ultimately the 45 state licenses that I have now. And it happened all very much kind of by accident, where it just sort of snowballed into more of a full-time career path for me. And when I first started, it was very much kind of, I'm doing my residency, I'm just going to be a traditional doctor, and this is something on the side. And then that developed into a real, real passion of mine.
And Mark, you started MDI during the pandemic. Can you sort of talk a little bit about that and the story behind starting it?
Yeah. So back in 2014, 2015, 2016, I was telling my colleagues about telemedicine, and their responses were very much, they thought it was taboo. They didn't know if you could do it. They thought it was strange. And then the pandemic happened, and all of a sudden, all those same people started calling me saying, how do I do this exactly? And, you know, what do I need to do? I'm like, well, you got to start by, you know, getting licensed in a whole bunch of states. And right before the pandemic happened, actually, I came to a realization in the industry in telemedicine, which is direct-to-consumer telemedicine brands are very good at customer acquisition. They're very good at the customer user experience. What they're not good at is the doctor user experience. They never cared about the doctor's user experience, making it efficient for them, making a good platform for them. It was like they threw it together to be the bare bones minimum that they thought was necessary to do the work. So I was constantly having to redesign the back end services that all of these companies were providing for their doctors, which initially was selfishly because it was so inefficient and such a terrible user experience that I didn't want to work on their company. And I said, hey, I can fix this for you. It needs to have this feature and that feature and this UI experience. And one day I came to the realization that this is its own core competency. Operating and managing and scaling a group of doctors, a doctor network, this is its own separate business. It's its own core competency. And these companies don't need to constantly invent this over and over again. I can just create a platform once, make it the best user experience in the industry for any doctor that wants to work on the platform, and then contract with these companies that I'm working with already and say, hey, I will provide the experience and the doctors and all of the other ancillary things that go along with managing and operating a doctor network. And you can focus on your core competency, which is customer acquisition, building the brand, and essentially, being a marketing company. So that's what we did. It started actually just right before the pandemic, and then the pandemic hit, and all of a sudden everybody wanted a telemedicine solution. And if you had something where you could plug into it and make it very easy for companies to launch that much more quickly than they could if they were, you know, trying to build it themselves, and all of a sudden it became a separate industry.
And you have pretty good clinician retention from what I understand.
Yeah, we do. And I think the whole secret sauce of doing what we do, which is providing a network of doctors, is giving them the best user experience in the industry. So you have to value their time and recognize that, you know, doctor time is valuable, and making their experience efficient is what retains doctors while not compromising the level of care. So we give the doctors the time to practice the medicine and assess the patients and make sure they're practicing good medicine, but we respect their time on a millisecond level when it comes to charting and completing cases and doing all of the things that the technology should do really well. We build a lot of that in so that the doctors can practice medicine efficiently while still providing really good care.
That's great. So if someone's asking you, what is MDI? Like, how do you describe it? It's a tech-enabled service. And can you get a little bit into the specialties that you offer, but then also the technology itself?
Yeah, I mean, I start out for people that aren't as familiar with the direct consumer telemedicine industry by just explaining there are three pillars to the industry. There's the brand, there's the clinical network, and there's the fulfillment pharmacy. And everybody has one of those three core competencies, and almost nobody has more than one of those. So we're a B2B business. I don't do direct consumer advertising. I'm not building a direct consumer brand, but we're the clinical network piece. So we provide a few different things that relate to that. The first is the doctors themselves. And we have doctors in all 50 states, plus DC, plus Guam. We only work with physicians. And many of those physicians are specialists. So for example, if you want to launch a skincare line, we're going to give you board certified dermatologists. If you want to launch a women's health line, we're going to give you board certified OBGYNs, which is pretty unique. And again, speaks to that secret sauce of efficiency where specialty doctors still want to come work on the platform because of the experience that they get. So the doctors is one piece. The treatment portal as doctors work out of is a big second piece. So when the cases come in from all of these different partner companies, they get intelligently assigned and if needed, reassigned to doctors that are licensed in that state, turned on for that company. So the technology is one half of the business and the actual manpower, the doctors, are the other half of the business. And maybe that the third piece is the compliance aspect, because if you want to launch a telemedicine company that's going to do all 50 states, you have to know the regulations and the laws in all 50 states, and they're constantly evolving and changing. So there's not a federal telemedicine law. Every state has their own laws about practicing medicine and practicing telemedicine. So we help guide companies with those aspects as well.
And you have a PC structure as well, right? So a lot of these companies and brands that are coming to you don't actually need to create that structure themselves. Is that right?
Right. So one thing that people may not know is companies that are not professional corporations in many states, there's corporate practice of medicine laws where as a non-owned physician entity, as just a corporation, you can't actually hire doctors to treat patients. So, you know, some pharmaceutical company can't just hire doctors to prescribe their medication because that would violate corporate practice of medicine laws. So we, as a physician-owned entity, have established professional corporations in all the different states so that we are hiring doctors and then managing them within a professional corporation. They don't want corporations managing what doctors are doing and how they're treating patients. They want a physician group to manage doctors and how they're treating patients. The difference with MD Integrations, as opposed to some other companies, is you could pay in the tens of thousands of dollars just to access their PC network, or you could spend hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to create that yourself. And if you work with us, we include that as part of our service. So you don't pay anything. You just get to access our PC network.
And PC is another term for a medical group, basically, right? Just so people are familiar with the terms.
Yeah, it stands for professional corporation, in this case, a medical group.
Like weight loss and just anything around weight is a huge topic right now in healthcare. What is MDI doing in terms of the weight loss space, the weight space in general?
Yeah, so I think something important to understand about weight loss is, first of all, when I started medical school, and this was back in 2001, all we heard about was the obesity epidemic in this country. Okay, we have an obesity epidemic and everyone's dying of heart attacks and strokes and we have to do something about it. And the solution everyone had back then was tell people to diet and tell people to exercise. And they completely ignored the fact that there is a biochemical component to being overweight. And there's a genetic component to being overweight. So to ignore that, to say that it is all just external forces and it's just lifestyle and diet. And if you just exercise and diet, you're going to be skinny. That is false. That's like telling a smoker, just put the pack of cigarettes down, just change your lifestyle, put the pack of cigarettes away and stop smoking. Well, there's a dependency. There is a biochemical problem beyond just a lifestyle thing. So when the newer medications have now come out and actually address that issue, the idea is to combine those things and say, yes, we want to promote healthy lifestyle and diet, but we also have to recognize that we have to address the organic internal part of being overweight and help people address that. So that's the foundation of where treating people for weight loss with medications comes from. So it's not designed as a shortcut, or, you know, you can lay on the couch all day and inject yourself with something and you're going to be skinny. The idea is, let's treat both. Let's tell them to put the pack of cigarettes down, but also give them some nicotine replacement in the smoke example and help people get better. So when where telemedicine fits in is, how do people get to access care? Because trying to go to your local doctor and get weight loss treatments, getting into your doctor itself can be a problem. And then them being an actual expert in weight loss is its own sort of subset of doctors. So people cannot access care. And what we do with telemedicine is we connect patients to physicians who are specialized in weight loss, who are already familiar with these treatments in particular, and give them a very structured treatment pathway so that they can access care, message their doctor whenever they want for free. So that if they ever have questions or side effects or anything, they pull out their phone, they message us, they get an answer within 24 hours. So what we're doing is we're expanding access to care for treatments that are addressing the organic component of weight loss. And our medical director at MDI is board certified by the American Board of Obesity Medicine, which is the highest level of certification you can have as a doctor. You become an internal medicine doctor, and then you want to treat heart patients, then you become a cardiologist. When you're a weight loss physician, you do some other training first, like internal medicine, and then you get board certified by the American Board of Obesity Medicine with a certification exam to treat obesity patients. That is not a common thing. We felt it was important that the person directing our program is board certified by the American Board of Obesity Medicine. And many of our physicians are also board eligible or board certified by the American Board of Obesity Medicine.
So you're pretty positive on, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but how do you feel about GLP-1s? Like, if you have any feelings or thoughts on this, because it's become so incredibly pervasive and is so popular.
I think they're the most important drug that has come out probably in my lifetime of practicing medicine. My personal feeling is they will save more patient lives than any other single medication I can remember since I started practicing medicine. Because when we go back to the obesity epidemic, that increases your risk of so many different health problems along the way, that when you say, what's the number one reason people are, you know, die in this country, it's of that age group, it's heart attack, it's stroke, all these things are way more impactful even than something like cancer that you would think of as such a bad disease. So I think they're the single most important drugs that have been invented in my lifetime of practicing medicine. That being said, there's considerations to the system of how do people access them? You know, how do we make sure that patients who are getting them actually qualify for that type of treatment? And how do we make it affordable for the system? And I think telemedicine actually helps with that because they're able to access care very inexpensively when you can do it via telemedicine.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. It's always good to hear from somebody who's in the field and prescribing this, what they really think about these medications, because there's so much hype around it and so much media that it's always good to hear. And it's pretty powerful to hear that you think it's like one of the most important medications that has come out in modern day. What do you think about, where do you see the future of asynchronous care going, since MDI is really enabling both synchronous and asynchronous care? But where do you think, like, 5-10 years down the line, you see asynchronous care going in the country? And
my vision of the modality of care for telemedicine is asynchronous wins on almost every metric, in terms of patient satisfaction, doctor satisfaction, ease of care, wait times for patients. All of that lends itself towards asynchronous care. So I put practicing medicine into three buckets. The first is asynchronous care, where you can effectively upload your medical information, clinical photo, et cetera, and a doctor can treat you that way. The second is we need more information and need to message back and forth or get on a phone call or a video call, which some states require. And the third is you're not a good candidate for telemedicine care. You need to be seen by a doctor in person. For the things that asynchronous is good for, it's going to help expand access to care to so many patients, and it will help more, even more importantly, open up doctor's visits, open up those slots for people that really need to see a doctor in person. So as getting your UTI treated online becomes the standard, those people will no longer be going to urgent care. They will no longer be going to their in-person doctors for that, because they will know that they can actually get easier, more streamlined care online. And that will open up those same doctor slots for patients that actually do need to be seen in person because they have abdominal pain that you don't know the source of, and you have to put your hands on the patient to try to figure it out. So I think what we're doing is we're shifting care so that less acute things that lend themselves to asynchronous are going to be treated asynchronously. And therefore, we'll open up more bandwidth for things that actually do need in-person care.
That's great. And we didn't really talk about this too much, but we did talk a bit about your founder story. But I do want to go back to something that's really unique about your background particularly. But you've actually worked on quite a bit of telehealth platforms. Can you share with us which platforms you worked on and which companies out there kind of excite you in the telehealth field? I mean, aside from yours, which is B2B, but like in the D2C space.
Yeah. So the first company and my gateway into telemedicine was HealthTap. So the advertisement I saw where I had no idea what any of this was HealthTap. And I was one of the founding doctors on there when they, you know, very first launched their platform, which was very exciting. And I was with them for several years. I also was one of the earliest doctors on American Well and Amwell, which is now a publicly traded company. I helped design some of the systems for 30 Madison Keeps. I worked for Hims, which I believe is publicly traded now. And also I worked on PlushCare, which is now publicly traded as well. So I got to see the gamut of many different platforms and systems, helped design some of the features and systems that I thought would help streamline care. And I took all that experience when I founded MD Integrations. So I sort of founded MD Integrations out of necessity. I said, I can't keep telling people to add this feature and that feature, and you're not doing this compliantly, and we need to fix this. I said, we have to just do this once and do it correctly. But I was very fortunate to work on some really fantastic companies that have had their own founder journey and arcs. And I learned a lot and continue to learn a lot from the companies that work with MD Integrations, because now we work with hundreds of companies and founders of all different backgrounds. So we're constantly sort of taking all those experiences and using them to sharpen our own offerings.
Last question on my end. What's next for the company that really excites you? You know, we're in 2024. What's kind of next that you can share with us here today?
I think there's a few things. I think the next decade of our specialty in medicine as a whole and in telemedicine is about reversing the obesity epidemic and what that looks like, and hopefully tracking these patients out over time to see what does that look like and how are we going to track once they're at their goal weight, how we're going to maintain that weight and prevent them from relapsing back. Because you have to remember, in this country, 40% of the U.S. population has a body mass index over 30. 40% of this country is defined as obese. So when you talk about where is the need, where is the big piece of the pie, that is the biggest need that I see. Another interesting category, which is just in its infancy right now that I'm excited about, is pharmaceutical companies are starting to realize that traditionally they've gone into doctors' offices and advertised their drugs to doctors and were asking the doctors, hey, you know, do you think that you'd prescribe our drug? Do you have patients that would benefit from this drug? And that takes a heavy sales ground force and is trying to essentially reprogram doctors from maybe what they had traditionally used and say, hey, our new drug is better than what you've used for 10 years. Now what they're going into is direct consumer advertising, where the patient actually can have a call to action button and say, I want to consult with a telehealth doctor right now about this medicine I'm interested in on the brand's website. And they would click the button and the brand would say, hey, you're leaving our website. We have nothing more to do with you. We're sending you to an independent group of doctors and they're going to assess, you know, your interest in this medication and see if you're a good fit, and you can do a consult right there and just pay the doctor, you know, essentially a copay amount of money to see if this medication is right for you. So all of a sudden they can turn their direct consumer advertising, of which large pharmaceutical companies are spending many millions of dollars on, and actually turn it into an actionable encounter with a doctor who already knows that drug, who's already familiar with this use case, and they can have a conversation about it. So I think that's really exciting. I think where weight loss is going is very exciting. And I think we're also just at the beginning of direct-to-consumer telemedicine in general. I think the forecast that you see is, you know, this is just the beginning of the, you know, folds of increase of the type, the amount of telemedicine pie that we're looking at as a whole.
Well, I know Layla and I really enjoyed having you on and you telling your story. So we'll have to have you come back on in the future, maybe get you on a panel. We can dig even deeper, but thank you so much for joining us on the Slice of Healthcare podcast here today.
Yeah, Mark, that was great. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.